It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Carmichael Dave.
All right, welcome back. That is Jay Mars. I'm Carmichael Dave. Take you all the way through this abbreviated week. Football on Thursday.
Yes.
And then all the football on Sunday.
Clear the calendars, kids.
I'm so excited. Do you, I'm fat, so I'll talk to you about this.
Yep.
Do you have any, have you begun thinking about meals on Sunday?
No, because first I got to get through sushi on Saturday.
Hey, lucky you.
Yeah, it's girlfriend's dad's birthday, so that's sushi. That's it. Good. That's what we do.
That's a good pick.
Love me some sushi.
Yeah, going to definitely do some sort of a, I don't know. I like
a brisket?
We'll smoke it? We're going to smoke something on the queue for dinner.
We're talking food here, degenerates. Yeah.
But, you know, one thing I really enjoy doing is having a Subway at home. I'll go buy one of them big French breads.
Hope you pick better meat, but anyways.
And then I'll cut it in half lengthwise, and you dig out the dough. A lot of the dough with your hands, so you just create these trenches.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids have a blast. We have all these little squeezy bottles. So you have like mustard, mayo, the sandwich vinegar, and oil, and then, you know, all the toppings.
Delicious.
Oh, it's really fun because everyone makes their own sandwich, and then you cut it up. You have some chips. It's a good lunch.
It also seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, but it's a labor of love.
Okay.
Food tastes better when you make it. I think
I agree, as long as you make it correctly.
Yeah, well, exactly. We're gonna get. I promised you some of the fun stuff from college football, mainly the controversies.
That audio's in there, by the way. If you didn't see it,
no, I got it. I almost forgot though this piece of audio that was circulating over the weekend. I do want to get to this completely out of context. Kyle Kuzma was having a roundtable conversation. Jay, did you see this?
I did not.
Kyle Kuzma was commenting on where he thought he would play this year.
I was kind of shocked because I thought I was going to Sac, like the Sacramento deal with Buddy Hill. Like, that shit was done.
Whoa, so hi. I'm like,
wow,
how
hi. God. Dump really? Out of that.
To be fair.
Good job previewing the audio previewer guy.
Can I tell you something?
Sure.
Defend
yourself.
The clip I heard was bleeped.
You should have probably played. You should have probably played that clip then.
I'm playing it off the Bleacher Report main site. Jeez.
You can curse on the internet, sir, but you can't curse on broadcast.
You're welcome, YouTubers and podcast. Now I'm sitting here thinking, does he curse anymore?
I think you're just going to have to explain what he was talking about. We can break it down through them there.
Because I don't think he does. All right, I'll preview. Preview this specific clip. He kind of alludes towards, like, thank God I went to Washington. It's a better situation.
Is it?
And then he kind of said, well, you know, I would have had fun in Sacramento. But he says, you know, hey, Sacramento, it's a 45-minute plane ride down here. It's near Napa. You know, he starts doing that.
The stereotypical right. Sacramento's 2 hours away or 90 right. minutes away from everything great.
Which, by the way, it is. I mean, it's a stereotype.
Yeah, it's not a bad
doesn't
thing.
Doesn't mean Sacramento.
He's not lying.
But the thing, I don't have a problem with any of that. The thing that I noticed, though, is he said, you know, but I being able to play with Bradley Beal.
That's fair.
But then the question becomes, as a player like Kuzma, are you more excited about playing with Bradley Beal and the Wizards or De'Aaron Fox and the Kings? And I think it takes a second to think about it. I would say this. I think the tiebreaker there and why I would probably I understand where Kuzma's coming from. You're also playing in the East.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go through the team you just left. I don't think Kyle Kuzma wanted to see the Lakers four times a year as a member of the Kings. It's probably not something he'd look forward to.
Well, I'll tell him this. He ain't going to look forward to it seeing them as a member of the Wizards twice a year.
Twice a year.
But
that's half.
I don't really care when a player has a preference of going somewhere, especially when they don't want to come to Sacramento, because as much as...
I don't want them. They don't want a beer.
As much, and there is a large segment of the fan base that's like that.
Stupid.
It's like at the end Stupid. And beginning of the day, like, the Kings have sucked for 15 years. The franchise has been a joke. If a player doesn't want to come here, I'm not offended by it.
I'm not either. It's the dumbest thing. I understand it as a native Sacramento,
sure.
The pride. But again, look at the history of this team. How many players have come to Sacramento and they end up staying? You just have to accept their ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
They come here and they raise their families here and they stay here almost more often than not. I can sit here and name an entire roster of players that make their homes here that were not born nor raised here. They don't know. Think about it. Think about it real quick, and we'll move on.
I mean, you can go way back on that one. I think Harold Presley's still here, right? Harold Presley got drafted by the Kings in 86.
Yes.
I think Pete Chilcutt is still local as well.
Think about it, dude. When you are up until a few years ago, your view of Sacramento, if you're an NBA player, you fly into Sac Airport, which is in the middle of Fields. You drive down 5. And you play your games at Arco Arena in Fields. Then you drive back to the airport, and then you fly away. Of course you're going to think Sacramento's a cow town because that's all you see is Fields and an arena and an airport. Now it's a little different. You've got the downtown, but let's just be honest. As it is right now, driving and, you know, you drive right into the Kimpton Sawyer. They stay there. Then they play the games. But maybe they occasionally decide to take a walk around Golden 1 Center. Needs a little help. Needs a little help. Imagine not being from here.
Haagen-Dazs ain't pulling a free agent.
No. No, it's not.
The Bubble Lounge ain't pulling free agents.
Imagine the amount of things you have to step around. Just taking a walk around the block. Probably again.
That Starbucks that serves alcohol ain't pulling free agents.
Ain't pulling free agents. Kicks.
Coin-op, though.
Coin-op
might pull a free agent.
Those will pull free
two.
Agents. All right. There's some... Brian Kelly and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish went into Tallahassee, Florida in a very emotional game at Doak Campbell Stadium. You had Bobby Bowden logos all over the place. Of course, Bobby Bowden, the longtime head coach of Florida State, passing away at 91 this year, and Tallahassee was on fire. Also, they're doing a good job at Florida State. It's the first time since Jimbo Fisher I've seen a team that looks like they're going in the right direction. The Willie Taggart disaster aside, and every disaster after that aside.
That was a fun game. I even watched a little bit of that game.
It was and I'm saying this as a diehard fan whose team lost in overtime at home because in part of a moronic call by the coach that I'm giving credit to. It was the most fun game of the weekend. It was the most drama-filled, fun game of the weekend. Georgia-Clemson was not a fun game. This was a very fun game. And I didn't expect that. The Irish were favored by 7.5, and I thought that was really soft. It did go to overtime. Notre Dame did win. They escaped with the victory in a game in which Florida State had no business being that close, at least on paper. And then speaking of NFL head coaches, gone wild. Former NFL coach has gone wild. Brian Kelly in the post-game interview said this.
What did you think of your team's ability to withstand Florida State's impressive comeback?
Yeah, you know, I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight. I mean, we just didn't execute very well.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, listen. I'm all for, like, when people mention things like woke and political correctness, a lot of the time it's like, no, dude, it's called not being an ass. Like,
right.
I'm in favor of it. The amount of drama surrounding, let's be really clear. Chip Kelly is a dummy, and he tried to say something in jest. And
Chip
he,
Kelly?
What'd I say?
Chip Kelly?
Brian Kelly. God,
Brian
I'm
Kelly.
Sorry. Excuse me.
No, Chip Kelly had a very boring statement.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's dumb, right? Like, it's – number one, a lot of the people reacting, first off, you have to understand the story behind it. One of the most famous head coaches of all time, John McKay, was coaching the Tampa Bay Bucks.
The expansion Tampa Bay Bucks that didn't win football games.
It was 1975. The most famous quote in his career, when asked by the media, what do you think of your team's execution, coach? He responded, I'm in favor of it. That's funny. What Kelly tried to do here was resurrect the McKay quote, and he ham-handed the whole thing. It was a he is guilty of delivering a forced and poorly delivered callback to a legend. I don't think Mr. Kelly wants to kill his players. And I saw people doing everything from drawing parallels to people being triggered over certain things. I saw somebody compare it to the Taliban. A lot of you need to go sit down and have a nice bowl of pudding and chill. You just, not everything has to be a cancellation war of whatever. You can be stupid and say dumb things. And it's okay. And it's okay to get dragged.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of over-the-top dragging, it's like, dude, chill. I tell my daughter this all the time, Jay.
Dude, chill.
Literally, if I called her on the phone right now, I said, what three words have I said to you the most in your entire life? I can promise you her answer would be one of two things. Either I love you or you gotta chill. And it would probably be you gotta chill. I always tell her to budget her words.
Mm-hmm.
Budget your words. You don't have to run a constant play-by-play. I feel that same way about controversies like this. You've got to budget your outrage. If you're constantly outraged about everything, the actual important stuff gets lost in the shuffle. If
yes.
your cause is everything, you're going to get lost in the shuffle. This is not worth that much time other than, oh my God, he's an idiot. Nobody thinks he wants to line his players up and execute them. It's definitely, no doubt about it, a poorly delivered joke. It is not a reason to fire the man. And the inevitable, if it hasn't already happened and I've missed it, forthcoming apology and clarification is not necessary. People are more upset about that quote than this quote. From LSU head coach Ed Orgeron. The audio's rough. You'll hear the voice when you hear it.
Hey, Coach Orgeron.
Hey, I'm good.
Gonna block those gates. Gonna beat you down.
Hey, bring your ass on. Bring your ass on, you little sissy blue shirt.
It's funny.
Now, this one I struggle with because I can completely understand the connotations of calling somebody a sissy and what that means. And toxic masculinity and blah, blah, blah. And yes, you can actually draw a line between comments like that and being homophobic. I hear that. I got it. And I hear it. And I hear the logic to it. That's college football, man. That's football in general.
Well, and I believe the fan was trolling him because I guess Orgeron had said something similar when he was the interim coach at USC and they were going to play UCLA like in 2013. And so it was just kind of a troll back to Orgeron, and he just did not take it well.
I mean, listen.
But the sissy blue shirt thing, the reason why I laugh, because it's such a horrible comeback.
It's a terrible comeback.
That makes it funny.
And then they got beat.
Oh, they didn't just get beat. Was not expecting UCLA to just come in and wax LSU.
I wasn't at all.
That's why I was asking you. I'm like, all right, we're this early in the season. That's already happening. You ain't even played in conference yet. If LSU isn't competing this year.
You haven't even played in the SEC.
That's what I'm saying. You haven't even played in conference yet. You've played in the, you know, quote unquote, sissy Pac-12, right?
Right. That sissy Pac-12, your sissy blue shirts, I'm wearing purple.
I mean, Ed Orgeron was just like, hailed as the savior of LSU.
He won a national. Hold on.
No, Joe Burrow won a national title.
Okay, but who recruited Joe Burrow? Wasn't Ed Orgeron?
I think it was Les Miles still there.
Ed Orgeron won a national championship at LSU. He's going to be fine for. Let's not pile up on
my
Ed
guy,
Orgeron.
If LSU is a stinker this year,
he'll be on a hot seat. They got a long memory at LSU. Les Miles lasted forever at LSU. He won a title.
Yeah, he won a title.
Oh, by the way, we got breaking news. Well, I should have known. Brian Kelly has issued a clarification for his comments.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's an old John McKay quote. I was kidding. It was tongue-in-cheek. It wasn't funny. It's an old John McKay quote that he used after the game. So I was talking and you know, making a joke about it. Why I was taken serious. Are you people crazy? It's a John McKay quote that he used after a game. I was stealing one of his old quotes and being funny. I guess nobody likes to be funny anymore. So yeah, if you want to take me to town on that, please do.
I'm honestly kind of out of sight. Like,
Brian, I'm not taking you to town. Taking you to city.
It could be not, yeah. It could be not funny. It can be poorly executed.
Well, the only thing I don't like what he said is, well, it's not funny. It's like, it's not necessarily it's not funny. It's just you delivered it really
delivered
poorly.
Delivered it poorly. That's it.
Come on, dude. Anyone that knows comedy right. knows timing is everything.
Right. We're so dang serious. Just, there's important things we have to deal with. Bringing up the history of executions and Catholic schools and Notre Dame. I mean, guys, come on. It's a McKay quote.
Chill.
You gotta chill. Speaking of. Oh, by the way, let me get to this, too. Before we get off of college football here, couple of quick notes. We already have our first coaching casualty. Speaking of executions, not that kind, but his job has been executed mutually.
Yeah.
You know what that means, right?
Yeah, it means they came together and agreed. Duh.
Yeah. So on Sunday, Randy Edsall, the head coach at UConn, said, I'm going to retire at the end of the year. This is after UConn, not necessarily known as a powerhouse.
Not a football powerhouse.
They're 0-2 to Fresno State and Holy Cross, which is an FCS program.
Fresno State's a respectable program.
That's why I skipped over it. UConn loss to Fresno State is not that crazy. A loss to FCS Holy Cross.
Yeah, that's different.
That's rough acting to Tenacton. Randy Edsall said, well, I'm gonna. I mean, he's a legend at UConn.
If you don't know the story, this was a program that was literally a nothing football program. And in the early 2000s, he actually turned it into a very respected football program.
On a far lesser scale. And I say this only to try to describe it. You could describe him as the junior version of Bobby Bowden at UConn. Somebody who came into a football program that was nothing and built it at least to something. I mean, heck, they went to a Fiesta Bowl thing. That's a thing. So he said Sunday, I'm going to step aside. Then the director of athletics, David Benedict, had this to say. Upon further reflection by both Randy and I, and after having the opportunity to visit with Randy today, we are both in agreement that it's in the best interest of our student athletes to have a new voice leading UConn football. It's a little bit crazy, Jay, because yes, he lost to Fresno State. Yes, he lost to Holy Cross, and that's embarrassing. But he's just two games into his fourth season, and the guy in this stint with UConn has gone 6-32. You'd think he'd get more of a shot.
Yeah. You think. Or not.
Ugh, 6-32. That means he was 6-30 coming into this season. Right. Couldn't make the call in July.
I'm just saying it was. You they brought him back. Season. They brought him back. It was a nice story. And it was 2017. He got brought back. And you're right. He's just been a failure since there. And I don't blame him. It's just the program. When you look at how college football recruits, especially now, it's kind of SEC or bust, a little Big Ten, Pac-12 action. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to suck this year, right?
Yeah.
You sucked the last three or four seasons.
Maybe it's just a recruiting thing.
It's a recruiting thing. Let the guy finish out. It's not like UConn letting him go now is going to all of a sudden turn the season around. Also, for a guy who did everything for your program, give him a little more respect, in my opinion.
One job that's safe is Dabo Swinney, that of the University of Clemson. Despite their loss to number 5 Georgia, that defense is for real. 10-3 was the final score. It also might be because Clemson no longer has a guy named Trevor Lawrence under center. In fact, speaking of Trevor Lawrence, he was in Charlotte to catch his Tigers take on the Bulldogs. His Tigers lost. Here's what's interesting. Trevor shows up yesterday to practice in full Georgia gear. In full Georgia gear, he made a bet with one of his Jags teammates. He obviously lost the bet. He didn't have to, you know. How come nobody's made Trevor Lawrence get one of those Friar Tuck haircuts yet, by the way? He is a rookie, right? Does that not count if you're the number one pick?
If you're the number one pick in the franchise savior and you have that head of hair, nobody's touching it. Wow. No, there's too much marketing in that hair. There's too much money for both Trevor Lawrence and the Jags to lose out on.
There are a few things I love more than bets like that. I mean, we've done it before. We have to wear the Dodger or Giants jersey.
Sure.
To have Trevor Lawrence show up after his team just got beat in a rival outfit. That's brutal.
I do think he should change his last name, though. Oh, God. You ready? Especially given the hair. You ready for it? Here we go. More like Trevor Lannister, because he always pays his debts.
Wait, so you just worked in a Game of Thrones joke.
Yep.
That no one knows.
Everybody knows that who watched Game of Thrones. One of the most popular shows of all time. And if you don't know, now you know. To quote the great Notorious B.I.G. What is the problem? He has the Lannister hair and everything. He literally looks like Lancel. Like season one, Jamie.
We are sorry.
Oh, so sorry.
Very sorry. We're sorry.
That's
not we.
We literally are sorry. Speaking of clarifications by head coaches, here's Bill Belichick saying, well, hold on. You need the vaccine, though.
No player has been released or kept because of their vaccination status. That's not part of the equation. My comment relative to vaccinations are really the way I feel is that that's an individual decision for each person to make as a team. We're better off if everybody is vaccinated. And that being said, even if everybody was vaccinated, that doesn't solve all of our problems. As we've seen, multiple players and head coaches and assistant coaches throughout the league test positive for COVID even after they have been vaccinated. So it's still incumbent upon us to be vigilant in our daily hygiene and decision-making for the health and safety of each of us individually and our team. And so we'll continue to follow all the league protocols as we always do, but that's not a factor in any player's release or non-release on the team.
Well, obviously Uncle Bill got some blowback from
a little bit.
I mean, you know, get out of here. All right, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, when we get back, once in a blue moon. Also, the other thing Jay Cutler said, and if I want to hear anybody weigh in on Tom Brady, it's Jay Cutler.
Because they're similar in every aspect, right?
Yeah. Also, an addendum to whatever Jay's stat of the day is going to be. I have this breaking news for you. Derrick Henry was good in high school. Not sure if you know how good. We'll talk about that next.
1-800-920-1140 to talk.
Or maybe texting would be better.
Text the show at 916-339-1140. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
Sports.
Sports.
It's all sports.
24 hours a day.
It probably goes back to his work ethic, like to start. He was in a great situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, timing, situation, work ethic, you know, his talent, his brain, like a lot of things have to come together. Like if you look at really successful people, you know, they're obviously talented in whatever their field is, but there's got to be some things that come together to help them. And I mean, being with Bill and Josh McDaniels and their defense was unbelievable when he first got there. And obviously he was good too, and he grew with that and he became the team. But you look at a lot of these quarterbacks that get into the league early and they're on bad teams. They don't have a lot of talent around them. The coaches kind of maybe getting fired or coming in and starting over. So, and not to take away from Tom, because I mean, what he's done is probably never be done again, you know, but he came into a really, really good situation, and to his credit, he took advantage of it, you know, better than anybody could.
That's Jay Cutler. He's getting dragged for this, and I'm really, I'm teetering.
I think his overall point is correct.
I agree.
I just think Tom Brady is really the wrong example to use. But what he's saying is not wrong about guys getting into situations and going to a better situation, especially as a rookie. And we've all seen that, how guys can, you know, go in with a lot of Sam Darnold going to the Jets. Like, worst thing that could happen for Sam Darnold, right?
Sure.
Sam Darnold goes to a better situation. The start of his career is probably better. So, yeah, what Jay Cutler's saying is correct in theory. But Tom Brady, wrong guy to make that point with, in my opinion.
Generally, and Tom Brady was different because Tom Brady was picked very low.
Yes.
But, you know, in the case of Cutler or Sam Darnold or Sam Bradford or in so many of these quarterbacks, mm-hmm. The teams that are in a position to draft them are in a position to draft them generally because they're bad teams.
Right.
Now, every once in a while, you get a Niner team trading up for Trey Lance. But the Niners were bad last year, and that's a different situation, you'd think. But a lot of these teams, the Jacksonvilles, the Detroits, the Jets, they're there for a reason. They are perpetually bad.
Yeah, they don't football well.
Oh, you could say the same thing for the Kings, as much as I hate to say it, but they are a perennially bad team. So you have players that go to these teams and they lose the first few years of their career.
What was Peyton Manning's record that first year in Indianapolis?
It was 1-15, I believe.
Yeah,
sucked. And I believe Troy Aikman's first year in Dallas, he was 1-15.
One game, yeah.
So you do have these situations that pop up. But
some get better, as we've just alluded to.
Right.
Others don't.
By the way, also, the Patriots weren't exactly a perennial powerhouse under Drew Bledsoe and Bill Belichick.
They had the run. One Super Bowl run, right?
Right.
Parcells.
And that was with Parcells and what, Tony Eason?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a problem with what Jay said, because he stopped at every other breath to give credit to Brady's work ethic and talent, and he took advantage of it better than anyone in history. And I think what he's saying is right, and I think there's a little personal experience in there too.
Sure.
If Jay Cutler had been drafted in the late 90s to the New England Patriots, is Jay Cutler holding 7 trophies? No. But is Jay Cutler's record better? Yeah. Considerably better. I think if Jay Cutler were drafted to the Patriots where Tom Brady was, I think Jay Cutler would have been the Jimmy Garoppolo of the Patriots.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. Somewhere in there. Right?
It's Jay Cutler.
Okay, all right.
Really good arm. That's
Jay Cutler, another one of those dork faces, too.
Yeah, no. Jay Cutler does not have the winning quarterback face.
Jay Cutler is the Josh Rosen of... I need a third.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you get my point.
Yeah, no, the only guy with the bad face that won Super Bowls was Eli Manning.
Thank you.
Eli is the exception to that rule.
Jay Cutler is the Josh Rosen of Eli Manning.
Yes.
All right, once in a blue moon, right?
This is a really, never mind.
Yeah, it's a really.
Once in a blue moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. Mm-hmm. Now it's 40 home runs this season.
Had his dad on some fantasy teams of mine.
Ah, good call back then.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy. I did not realize this. His father had only 2 40 home run seasons. I would have thought more than that.
Yeah.
With a career high of 44 in the year 2000. They are the second father-son duo ever to each post 40 home run seasons. The other, you ask.
It's not the Griffies.
No. It's going to be very obvious after I tell you. But I wouldn't have guessed.
Oh, the Bonds.
No.
No?
I wouldn't have guessed it off the top of my head either. But it's very obvious after you hear the father-son duo. Think big boys.
Oh, God. Cecil and Prince.
Yes.
I'm like Hank and Billy Aaron. Did he have a son that played? I'm like going through.
Yeah, you know, Billy Aaron had that great year in 83 right. With the Braves.
I'm going through every person that I know.
Did you just say Billy Aaron because of Billy Ripken?
Probably somewhere the electric connected in the back of my brain. Yeah, yes. Seth Lindgren's field room.
Big boys.
I'll tell you this much. He's certainly on pace to, you know, be there. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has as good a career as his father. He's going to have had a...
He'll be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. People forget. Here's a fun stretch for Vlad Guerrero. Vlad Guerrero hit 27 or more home runs in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 straight years. Excuse me. There was one year in there he had 25.
Only 25.
His RBI totals starting at 98. 109, 131, 123, 108, 111, 79, he was hurt, 126, 108, 116, 125, 91, 50, again, hurt and hurt, 115. Dude, Vlad Guerrero is on that list. You know, we talk about Albert Bell, who had a much shorter span there, but mm-hmm. of guys that, like, every time they came to the plate.
Yeah.
Not only was I looking for a home run, I was also praying a pitcher didn't die
mm-hmm.
because they just knocked the cover off the ball. And when they got...
With no batting gloves, by the way.
No. And when they made an out, it was like a scary out. Even mm-hmm. when they struck out, like...
They struck out hard.
They struck out...
Very violent strikeouts.
They strike out, and you can just feel the wind in right field.
Mm-hmm.
All right, real quick. Derrick Henry. I saw this morning. I had to...
Number three overall pick in my fantasy league, by the way.
That's about where you should go. Let me guess. Probably, I'm going to hold on here.
Can you do 1-2 in order? It's pretty easy.
Well, yeah, I can go. Yeah, 1-2 is going to be McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook.
No. McCaffrey, Barkley went 2 in my league. Yes.
Okay, I mean, listen, who knows, but someone's an idiot. Because Barkley's, how many teams in the league?
14.
Yeah, well. That I would say generally in 10 to 12 team, he's going either at the end of the first or sometime in the second. I've seen him in the third round. Now, listen, if he's healthy and he does awesome, great.
Raheem Mostert went in the fourth round.
Oh, God.
Sony Michel went in the sixth round. Just threw my whole draft strategy
hold
off.
Hold on a second. I don't want to spend too much. Hold on. McCaffrey, Barkley.
Henry.
Kamara?
Or yes, Cook Kamara after? 4.
Where was Cook?
Kamara 4, then Ezekiel Elliott 5, I believe. I think Dalvin Cook went 6.
You know, like Dalvin Cook's like the consensus number 2 pick in every draft.
No, not
wow.
Mine.
Okay, anyways. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you. Didn't help my draft any.
Derrick Henry. Keep in mind, he played anywhere from 11 to 13 games at Yulee High School. Derrick Henry rushed for 2,465 yards his freshman year, 2,788 his sophomore year, 2,610 his junior year, and 4,261 yards his senior year. Jay, he averaged 224, 232, 217, and then in his senior year, 328 yards a game.
Listen, I know Derrick Henry was not as big as he is now when he was in high school, but my guess is he was still a big, big kid. How would you, grown men in the NFL have trouble bringing him down. How are high school kids supposed to do that?
Dude, high school kids are still having nightmares.
High school kids are still implanted in the field.
Like Peter Jameson just graduated college not that long ago. He's now a fledgling stockbroker talking about how he made the mistake of trying to tackle Derrick Henry in the open field once, and he still has a Derrick Henry footprint on his face.
Mm-hmm.
His senior year numbers, Jay, in 13 games. He rushed for 4,261 yards. That's an average of 328 yards a game. That's an average of 9.2 yards a carry. And in 13 games, scored 55 touchdowns.
Did his team win?
I will tell you this. Speaking of what you were doing, anyone who drafted Derrick Henry his senior year in their high school fantasy football right. league won. They won. There are arguments Derrick Henry is the best running back in football. I love Derrick.
There's arguments I am willing to take on that.
Derrick Henry, I will say this.
If he had the catching, I mean, it's not like he's bad at catching
he's
in the
not,
backfield.
But, he's not
but if he had McCaffrey's catching skills, like.
I think that McCaffrey is the most valuable running back in the NFL because of what he does on both sides. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. There is nobody when they get going, and I don't mean on a run, I mean in a game. There is nobody that can take the heart of a defense in this league more than Derrick Henry.
Nobody.
There is no back that is.
Dude's like Superman.
He just will destroy you. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, we got you a what's on tap for today and a crossover. We will ask, we will receive, not in that order. We finish up the show next.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
It's what's on tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's what's on tap. Brought to you by
your buddy's fantasy football team.
That's right. Let's reiterate that because it is the season. Nobody cares. And I know that this is now a tired take that nobody cares, but weirdly enough, it needs to be repeated. Nobody cares. Like, literally, you could have drafted Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, on and on and on. You could have every good player in the league on your team and be in a 16-team league. Still nobody cares. You might be sitting there right now listening to me saying, Dave, actually, I had a conversation with some of my buddies over the weekend, and dude, they were tripping. They were like, oh my God, they're pretending. They're being polite, and they're secretly thinking about ways to off themselves, or at the very least, dreaming of a happy spot. Remember the scene in Dumb and Dumber? When Jim Carrey looked at the bathroom stall wall and he saw a bee here at this time and realized he was there at that time and he just kind of shrunk into his happy spot. That's how people are thinking about or hearing about your fantasy team. We compared it to baby pictures. Newborn pictures are acceptable. I saw Matt George post a picture of his newborn baby the other day and I thought it was cute. It already weighs more than Matt George, which is incredible. I enjoy that. I want to see how Matt and his bride and his child are doing. That's fine.
Already went to a baseball game. I love it.
Inevitably, though, when Matt is posting in a year pictures of Matt George Jr.
Pretty sure that's not his name.
I know it's not his name, but, you know, privacy. And he's playing with his blocks, and the caption is something like, look how cute he's playing. It's amazing to see his mind develop so quickly. Every other parent is sitting there going, nobody cares. We went through this. Wait till this kid is screaming at 3 a.m. and throwing poop at you. Just don't
Basically,
do it.
Basically, if you have a child, don't ever send a picture to Dave. He hates your kid.
I don't hate your kid.
You kind of hate their
kid. You know, listen, when we had our kids, by the time we got to Mason, anytime somebody would even ask for a picture, we'd be like, here it is. We'd reluctantly show him, be like, he's an ugly baby. You don't have to think about it. Like, Mason was an ugly baby. He turned out okay, but the first year, man, he looked like a potato on stilts. It's okay to say you have an ugly baby. That's fine. There are ugly babies in the world, dude. It happens. There's some babies you look at and you go, oh, God, what'd you drink? What'd you eat? Because I want to avoid that if I'm ever in this spot again. Anyways, fantasy football teams, nobody cares. Also, nobody cares about your bad beat in poker.
Oh, I do. I want to know about that.
Do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah, thank you. What's on tap today? Well, hey, golly, it's a lot of baseball. The baseball we care about, though, Jay's Dodgers take on the Cardinals. Game 2 there. J.A. Happ on the mound for St. Louis. Undecided going for the Dodgers. Undecided yet to lose this year.
0-0.
Chichi Gonzalez will take the Rockies. He of his 6-1-3 ERA against Logan Webb.
He of not a 6-1-3 ERA.
Yeah, Logan Webb, 2-5-6, 8-3, and on fire the last month. So, of course, the Rockies will win this game. That starts at 5:40. By the way, on Facebook, it just happens the Giants are in Colorado. I was in Denver a year ago yesterday, and I remember taking a screenshot of the app. It was 92 degrees in Denver and sunny a year ago yesterday, followed by a high a year ago today of 37 degrees and snow.
That's dramatic.
Denver's weather is drunk, and it needs to take an Uber and go home. The Athletics, I'm not even an A's fan, and I shudder at this. They host the White Sox tonight. Makes me PTSD from that previous White Sox series and all the horrible things that happened there. James Caprillion on the mound. I believe that's 6 p.m. pregame, 6:40 first pitch, right here on the Sportatious 1140.
KHTK.
Yeah, that too.
Gene Singer.
By the way, no, there's no by the way. Do we have a crossover?
We don't! Mr. Travel Day Ross on Friday wasn't here to leave us one.
Really?
I can make one for you.
You know, he's
quick.
Here. I saw him pull up as I was coming back up the stairs during the break. If Jason was a real program director slash host slash play-by-play voice for the Hornets.
I'll shoot him a text. I have his number.
Did Sac State win?
Yes. No. I don't know.
I know Davis.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of Davis because that was a big upset over Tulsa.
I know Davis.
I think
won.
They were 24.5-point underdogs, really? And they go in and beat Tulsa. Yeah.
Look at that. Tulsa. How's it feel? You've been Aggied. Is that a thing?
Nope.
No.
Nor
should
anyone,
it be a thing?
No.
Why?
That's kind of lame.
You've been, come on.
Nah.
Come on.
At least with like Sac State, you've been stung. Like that works.
Right, but like if you see
you've been Aggied.
Upset, they go to the crowd, they go, you've been you just got Aggied. UC Davis. Aggied. No?
No, that studio, silly.
By the way.
Oh, crossover's now in. Jason Ross has left it.
Oh, by the way, according to Google, Sac State trounced Dixie.
Dixie?
Old Dixie.
Where's Dixie located?
It's actually Dixie State.
Dixie State?
19-7. The hated Dixie State.
No, where is Dixie State? I'm asking you honestly.
I'm going to go with the South.
So you don't know? We're taking a guess here?
I know they beat them.
I'm going to say Texas.
Okay, you say Texas. I'm looking it up. I'm going to say Mississippi. Dixie State is in Utah?
That's close.
In the state's Dixie region?
I guess we should probably step our Utah game up a little bit.
I guess. The Dixie State Trailblazers with Brooks the Bison leading them on their whatever they do. Richard Biff Williams is their school president.
Dick Biff Williams, huh?
Dick Williams, the president of Dixie State University.
Dick Biff Williams.
Old DSU.
We have a crossover. We should probably get all to right, it before this gets out of hand.
One more note on golf.
Nope. Check out the Golf to Go golf. That's not it. Every week that, on nope. Nope. Sorry, Frank. Nope. I love you, but I'm going to have to cut your spot short.
Dixie State. The Trailblazers.
Hold on. Let me try this again.
Dixie State. They were originally a Dixie Normal College. I'm reading what I'm seeing, dude. Then it was changed to Dixie Junior College. And then now they're Dixie State. I didn't know Dixie was a state.
Well, now you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's try this whole thing again.
Way too much about Dixie State now. Well, no tobacco products on the campus there at Dixie State, by the way, including electronic cigarettes. So if you're going to Dixie State, leave your Marlboros at home and your vape pens. Don't do that.
All right, you want to try this again?
Yeah, why not? It's all the Dixie State
stuff.
What's
happening on the afternoons with Jason Ross?
Who's the boss?
Let's find out right now with the crossover.
Here's today's crossover.
Hey.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Jay.
Good weekend for the Giants, taking 2 out of 3 over the Dodgers, Jay. Sorry
about
that. But with that said, guys,
yep.
If you were given a large sum of money, a very large sum of money, and you had to bet on either the Giants winning the World Series or the 49ers winning the Super Bowl, and you can't split it, you got to bet it on one, which of the two do you choose?
Wait, what? Wait, hold on. What?
Okay, you have a big thing of, let's say $1 million, David.
$1 million.
You have to put $1 million on the Giants winning the World Series or the Niners winning the Super Bowl. You can't split, no parlay.
I put it on the Niners.
You hate the Giants.
I put it on the Niners winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
Niners haven't even played a game yet this year. I'm more confident they're going to win the Super Bowl than the Giants win the World
Series. Wow. So the Giants' body of work means literally nothing to you.
It means everything to me. I'm so proud of this team. I really am proud of them. I'm not buying it. I'll buy it at the end of when they're jumping up and down on the pitcher's mound. And by the way, the Giants could go 0-whatever and miss the playoffs, and I'd still say this was a very successful year. I would say the Giants could lose at any point. I'm be proud of them. I'm gonna think Kapler and Zaidi and everybody did an amazing job. I haven't adjusted my expectations much, but I have no belief this team can win a World Series.
I don't believe the Giants are going to win the World Series. However, I would put the money on them, and here's why.
Okay.
I have the body of work, and I know they're going to be in the playoffs. The 49ers arguably are the top three most talented teams in the NFL?
I'd say so.
Arguably top three team to also be injury riddled this year?
this past year?
This coming season. They have a lot of guys with injury history.
Yeah, they just signed Josh Norman.
I know they just signed Josh Norman.
I put the question out on Twitter. Who gets washed first? Are running backs or cornerbacks? Josh Norman, boy, did he fall off a cliff. All right, for Jay Mars, I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Love you, go Giants. Jim Rome is next. Bye-bye now.